Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a delight to be with you once again. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Great to be with you. So we're going to talk about managing interconnectedness. We're on our fifth week. Each month we talk about a different universal principle, ways in which our universe is structured, ways in which it operates, which with hopes that this will allow you to explore that navigation system. How does the universe work, and how can we take these laws and principles and integrate them into our everyday lives so as to make our experience that much more meaningful, purposeful? Dorothy, we seem to always start with a few quotes from you, and I so enjoy and look forward to what you've brought. Would you like to kick off the show?
Sure. So I've got a couple. The first one is from Marianne Williamson. She writes, "As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others." And then Sandra Day O'Connor wrote, "We don't accomplish anything in this world alone, and whatever happens is the result of the whole tapestry of one's life and all the weavings of individual threads from one to another that creates something."
I like the idea of tapestry. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about the rights of a cosmic citizen.
Correct,
nice. Steve?
Yeah, I love that idea, cosmic citizen. And is that a term that you came up with, cosmic citizen?
Well, I'd like to think that I did, but I was thinking when I was writing my book, Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen, what I was thinking of is, you know, we know from physics that we're all part of this cosmic energy field. Well, then that's actually where our citizenship is. It's not, I can say that I'm a citizen of the town that I live in or the province that I live in or the country that I live in. But actually, ultimately, I am a citizen of this entire cosmic field. So what does that mean? And part of what it means is being aware that we are part of a group, and that whatever we say to ourselves about the energy that is kind of all-inclusive, whether we call that God or spirit or whatever, it does not exist outside of ourselves. We are it. We are all part of it.
Well, we've talked about that quite a bit, about responsibility and our responsibility and this ability to respond, that we create our own reality and that we're a part of something bigger. And I think of a citizen as somebody who is sort of an inhabitant of something, but also somebody who participates. When I hear the word citizen, I think that, you know, I sort of right away think that there is this responsibility and that there is an active participation in creating something, in being a part of something. So indeed, we are the result of this thing called the universe, and we were birthed from this thing called the earth, right? I mean, humanity, we evolved from this thing. So I love that idea. Yeah. But Dorothy, you know, well, you mentioned, sorry to just, I don't want to go too far off, but, you know, we've just tiptoed around this idea of abundance. And in that you mentioned principles of abundance for the cosmic citizen, this is, you know, part of your 3-book series. Yeah. And I just would love it if you could just say a few words on abundance, because we have talked about the ways in which abundance, understanding that there is enough for us all, and that's the name of it, right? It just comes naturally. They go together. When we realize there's enough, we're not trying to cut anybody else off. We don't get competitive, and we don't sort of, it doesn't become about me. We just let loose and realize that we've got a lot to work with. It's like going to a buffet, if you will, and just saying, well, there's plenty here. I can always go back. There's a freedom to it and an ease to it, and not sort of a, you know, it's a wonderful feeling in that way.
That's right. And the abundance, in a certain sense, abundance is in the eye of the beholder, right? I can think of all that I have, and I feel so blessed. Or I can focus on what I don't have, what somebody else has that I don't have, and I'm going to feel scarcity instead. So we create the sense of scarcity. We create the sense of abundance. Now, I don't want to be overly simplistic about it. There are people living, because of choices that we have all made, that are living without enough food, without enough shelter, without safety. So I'm not saying that
yes.
You know, it's all wonderful, but it is possible. And if you just look around at our world, if you remember that Gaia, or the Earth, Mother Earth, is a sentient being. Scientists have demonstrated that, is a sentient being. And look at the abundance, right? There's not just one type of tree. There's dozens and dozens of types of trees. There's not just one flower. There's dozens and dozens of kinds. So nature itself is abundant. It tries many, many different ways to experience the world, or to create beings that experience the world. And if we tap into that sense of the overflow of how much there is to appreciate, to enjoy, to share, then we will feel abundant.
And it's always expanding, and it's always evolving. And I know on the last show you mentioned just staring at the stars, how that helps you feel feel connected, that you feel you are part of this great, big, abundant thing. You know, to realize that you are a citizen of that is quite lovely. I like that. Yeah. And yeah. You feel the abundance and the expansion within that, that here I am, but there's so much out there.
That's right. And it helps take me out of the me-centeredness of thinking that I'm the only thing that's important. I am the center of the universe. I mean, there's a sense in which I am the center of the universe, but I'm part of this huge universe.
Yeah.
And one of the, if we think about the rights that we have as cosmic citizens, one of those rights is to be acknowledged as belonging to that cosmic whole. Everyone, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, are all part of this cosmic energy field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And we have the right to be considered to be as important as any other living being. I'm just going to take that as a way to bridge to the whole rights of non-human persons. There are many, many beings that we share this world with that are not human. And we know, I mean, scientists in 2010 put forward a declaration on the rights of cetaceans, the fact that whales and dolphins, other cetaceans, are intelligent, social, self-aware beings, and they should have the right to manage and control their own living circumstances, which means that we should not be polluting the ocean.
And so really it's seeing
plastics or with noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're really saying, you know, you've got to even expand and say, well, so every living thing is a cosmic citizen. It is a part. It is a member. It is a part of this cosmos and a part of this mm-hmm. creative process that is life, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Switzerland has a Bill of Rights for plants. There's plenty of research showing that plants are intelligent social beings. They just happen to interact chemically, which is not the way that we communicate, and they are tied to a particular location. But they have ways of collaborating with each other, of warning each other of danger. You know, there's a lot going on in plant life that we tend to overlook. Elephants are another category of beings, very intelligent, very social. We tend to keep them in, you know, zoos on concrete, separated from their families. But there are many, if you see them in their natural environment, you see all the ways in which they work to help other species to live in a collaborative manner in a particular environment. So there's a lot to learn.
Yeah, we always sort of think of this as we think of being a citizen or even being a part of a group or interconnected. I know me personally, I'm sure many people will default to thinking of people, right? But mm-hmm. to expand
humans,
that.
Humans.
Yeah. Yeah. And to think that, well, okay, I am a part of this interconnected group that is, you know, under my feet, over my head, and all around me, within me, without me, in every possible way. Interdependence, right? It really does bring one to ponder this idea of interdependence, of being a part of the greater mm-hmm. whole, sure.
There's an organization that some people may not be aware of. It's based in the United States. It's called the Non-Human Rights Project. And it's working towards issues of personhood. It's brought lawsuits on behalf of some chimpanzees that were being held in captivity for testing. It's just brought its first case for elephants. And what's interesting, if you follow the legal work, they haven't won a legal case, but each of the legal rulings gets closer to the possibility, you know, recognizing the truth of what's being presented. And surely in New Zealand, they have declared a river a person. They've given it two guardians, one from native populations, one from the government, that are responsible for its well-being. So there's a lot going on in terms of expanding our awareness of what it means to be part of this cosmic whole.
And of our citizenship that we share with mm-hmm. so many different beings on this mm-hmm. planet and beyond. So listeners, this show, we're going to talk about managing interconnectedness. We're going to continue the conversation after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back, listeners. We are on our fifth show on interconnectedness. We've had some really wonderful conversations this whole month about ways in which we are interconnected, what gets in the way of that, really, how do we navigate being part of a group? Because indeed, there is no way around it. We are group. We are a part of a greater whole. And Dorothy and I are a part of this project, of this creative cooperative project that is Spirit Fire Radio. So just a little bit about us. I am representing Spirit Fire, which is an educational nonprofit. We have a retreat center in Western Massachusetts, meditation center. You can find out more about us at spiritfire.com. We offer meditation retreats, meditation and study and service, three great ways to bring greater spirituality into your life. Our mission is to generate awareness and consciousness and allow people to find ways to integrate those into their everyday lives. So find out more about Spirit Fire and our meditation practice, which is called Living Awareness, at spiritfire.com. And Dorothy, about the School for Esoteric Studies, wonderful organization.
Yes. We work with people who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen. We provide training through the same three pillars that Steve mentioned: study, meditation, and service. You can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We consciously started this collaboration with Spirit Fire, and we are looking to collaborate with any other like-minded organizations, because we became aware that all too often organizations focused on spirituality and consciousness just tend to work on their own. They don't necessarily work together. So please look at esotericstudies.net and see if there's any way that you would like to work with us.
Beautiful.
Steve, before the break, we were talking about rights of a cosmic citizen. Can I just mention a few others before we go on?
Oh, please do.
Yeah. So we were talking about being the right to be considered as important as any other living being, whether that's human or non-human. There's also the right to be viewed with respect. Now, this links back to our discussion of respect last week. The right to have basic safety and well-being safeguarded to the extent that there's no conflict with others' needs being met, and then to be consulted on the resolution of any apparent conflict. We have the right to be able to call on others for help in an interdependent fashion. And we have the right to expect cooperation in our dealings with others. So this is to give us a sense of what it is like to actually be part of a collaborative, cooperative, interdependent whole.
And it would be so nice, you know, to wake up in the morning and take a look at these rights and be certain that I am ensuring those rights for others. You know, could go a long way, right, to ensure that somebody else's well-being, you know, or and is safeguarded, or that, you know, they are viewed with respect, not only by me, but by others, and to expect that in return, you know, that what we put out, we get back, and to really sort of get to know and understand, you know, what it is to be a part of a creative whole and ensure that not only I have these rights, but that I'm making certain that others are afforded these rights. And what can I do in any given situation? How can I respond in any situation that would uphold those rights or work toward upholding those rights? Nice.
Yeah, and so that brings us to our obligations, because whenever we have rights, we also have obligations that go with those. So we've talked about some of these, Steve, but one of our basic obligations is to move from this perception of the cosmic whole as being external to us somehow to remembering that it is us and that we need to be open to giving and receiving, to that whole flow of energy that happens in the cosmic field, and being aware of the needs of others, not just our own needs.
Mm. Yes, indeed.
And we have, of course, that connectedness with humans and non-humans, but also the planet Earth, your Mother Earth, or however. And so, you know, we seem to be at a time where people see a contradiction between economic goals and environmental sustainability, you know, what it is that will allow all of us to live in a healthy fashion for generations to come. And I think if we can shift to remembering that the Earth is a partner with us, and I think the volcanic eruptions in Hawaii are reminding us that the Earth can do just fine without us, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
But if we want to be part of this Earth, we need to live in a cooperative and collaborative manner and not rape the Earth.
Yes, indeed. We have to get out in it, you know. We really need to. There's something that happens when we are out in nature. We just, you know, what trees afford us, you know, they quite literally clean the air so that our mental capacities, like our brain, comes alive. I don't know if you've ever walked through a forest and just you sense that you are connected, and it's actually a physiological shift that's happening with the processes of your respiration, of the air, the clean air that you breathe, because they've filtered the air. And I know we're on 95 acres here. People that just go for walks in nature, there is a reverence for living, for being a part of something that is alive and feeling connected to it, that is just, it happens. You know, it's like magic to be out in nature. We literally do change. We really do shift, you know. So I think really an obligation is to get outside, to create a reverence for nature. Even with this lava, you know, it's amazing to me to see people that are just sort of staring and going, you know, they want to go watch this lava, which I think is just bonkers. I mean, at any given moment, the Earth is just going to start, you know, bubbling beneath you. But there's a sense of wonder when we look at being a part of this thing that is, you know, this organism that is Mother Earth. That's quite wowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had the experience from the water of seeing the Big Island in Hawaii at nighttime, where you could see the lava flowing into the ocean and literally creating new land. Now, it was happening in a very controlled fashion, so you weren't getting all of the toxic spin-offs that are happening right now. But it is very dramatic to see that. But, you know, another thing about our obligations, Steve, is that I'm not sure how to put it, but we have an obligation to witness what is happening and to notice when things are not going well for the whole, even if we can't individually change them, to at least notice them and not just put them out of our mind and become numb. And the, you know, political situation in different countries around the world, but particularly in the United States right now, affords us, you know, a real test on this, that we have an obligation to not numb out with all of what's happening in terms of rights and regulations and everything being disrupted, but to notice and say, this is not okay. This is not something
right
that we will tolerate.
And to not just always go for a walk in the woods, right?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, just, well, so be it. I'm just going to go for a walk because it feels really good. Because in the end, that is selfish. You know, I mean, being a part of a whole, and, you know, that this is the obligations, that word obligations is really also calling out. I know on, I think it was two shows ago, we were talking quite a bit about the president of the United States. And I know I got a bit, you know, rah, because, you know, it's not to turn this show into sort of a show about politics where we will go on political rants every week, but it is such a, you know, it is such an example of really of ways in which separativeness, as it becomes a way of life, things break down. It really is corrosive. Once again, I've just been reading quite a bit of the Dalai Lama, and it amazed me. I was listening to an audio book, and he was talking about the 10 non-virtues, and I just couldn't help but think about that conversation about President Trump. You know, he was just saying, we are obliged, again, this word obligation, to work at avoiding these non-virtues. And it made me think that we're also obliged to pointing out when others are not doing their part in avoiding the non-virtues. And I'm just going to read them because it's fascinating if you think about the politics in this country and how many of these non-virtues are a daily, if not by the minute-to-minute experience for so many involved in witnessing this. They are killing. Now, maybe that might not, you know, we get it. Non-virtue, don't kill. But stealing, sexual misconduct. Stealing and sexual misconduct, it is really a part of this, of our, it is a just an almost an everyday part of our politics these days. The verbal non-virtues, get these: lying, divisive talk, harsh speech, senseless chatter. If I don't know when there's not senseless chatter going on Twitter, it seems to be just nothing but harsh speech, constant divisive talk, always there. Lying, it has become a staple of our political environment. And then there are mental non-virtues, which are covetedness, which is like, you know, make America great again, right? Harmful intent. Now, right there, almost every day. And wrong views, which is like about ignorance and wrong views, even about false, you know, creating false narratives or just not really seeing the big picture, right, Dorothy? I mean, wrong views is really just not understanding cause and effect. Ignorance is really not understanding the ways in which this universe operates, that what I do affects you and it will in turn affect me and the greater whole. So, you know, I don't love going on those rants, but man, when you're talking about the spiritual path and ways in which we can facilitate a more meaningful existence, you've got to consider these, right?
And absolutely. And one of the issues to me is that along with greater power comes greater responsibility, and we each have the responsibility to model the virtues, right?
Yeah.
To behave ethically, to behave from a moral compass. And when we see people who are in power and are therefore looked up to as role models and who have the in, who who have the ability to influence a wide group of people, then we need to hold them accountable to behaving in that way. And that's where, to me, the noticing, the witnessing is so important. I was having that. We were having dinner with some friends,
I'm so sorry to cut you off because we're right at a break. But hold the thought and come back. We will continue the conversation. Listeners, we'll be right back.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough. Separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. We're going to pick up the conversation right where we left off. Dorothy, you were just about to tell us about a dinner party. I love a dinner party.
Well, what was interesting was that that one of our friends was saying, in essence, you know, I'm just tired of this whole dynamic. I just tune it out. I just don't pay any attention. And I said, you know, that's exactly how abuses grow. Is because people do nothing. And there's that quote about how, you know, evil is only possible when good people stand aside and do nothing. Yeah. We saw that in Nazi Germany. And we need to keep ourselves from being numbed out by persistent fake news, persistent divisive talk, persistent lies, and keep saying, this is not okay, this is not all right. I will not, you know, I stand as a witness that this is not promoting the good of the whole, the common good.
And, you know, I find that in talking about managing group, managing interconnectedness, you know, to be able to do that, Dorothy, in a way that I'm sure you did with this person, to be able to do this by keeping these principles, you know, by seeing it as an obligation, but also refraining from divisive talk yourself or harsh speech yourself, you know, mm-hmm. and really doing your homework. So wrong views are not a part of this, and to not wish harm on anyone, to not have harmful intent. It is really an aspect of managing this interconnectedness. So it's this balance of finding harmony within yourself, finding harmony within your interconnectedness to the greater whole, and then coming back to these situations and seeing if you can be, you know, a creative counterpart to seeing change, you know, to seeing an evolution either of somebody's viewpoint or, you know, a change of the system itself.
Well, and I think, you know, I think back to a show that we did last year, Steve, on hope. I think that it's important to bring hope into the conversation because it's not just a matter of kind of, you know, wishfully saying, oh, I wish things were different. But we need to be able to facilitate actual positive outcomes. And hope is that mental attitude that helps us focus on valuable goals even though it's unclear how we will achieve those outcomes. But hope is what keeps us moving forward. It has an action component. It's not an emotion. It may result in a positive emotion, but it is a desire that we work towards.
Mm. I love that you just brought that into it. I can feel the relief, you know, because we can get, or at least I can sometimes just, I'm a Virgo, you know, man, sometimes we just can get so sort of wrapped up in the details. And hope has got this expansive nature. When we, that show on hope and all of the wonderful quotes that you brought to the table every week when we talked about hope, really left one with this, you know, feeling of optimism and of options. That was a big part of our discussions on hope, was that there are options. So then it becomes again about cooperation and about flexibility and not about you versus me. I'm right. This is the way. You know, it doesn't become about that, you know, single solution, but about creative process. And with hope, there's always plenty of options. You know, that seems to always generate hope or options.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, you know, when we think about hope, what we're doing is, the components of hope are that we are setting a realistic goal, something that matters to us, and then we're recognizing that there are many different ways in which that goal can be achieved. And that relates back to what I was saying, I think, last week about, you know, we have to not be attached to one particular outcome if we're going to be working together as part of this interconnected whole. We have to recognize that the solutions may come from many different places. And so that means that we have to have a tolerance for ambiguity. If we push for closure, you know, like, I've got to know right now, it's got to be this way, then we're headed for failure. But if we can say, I'm going to try this and I'm going to learn from it. If it doesn't work out, then I will learn from that as opposed to saying that I was wrong, I was bad. And then believing that we have the possibility for things to turn out well as long as we keep experimenting, as long as we keep trying. And that's why I said before, hope has an action component. We have to be trying things out.
And, you know, we've mentioned Russian dolls so many times, and I think we will this entire year. And it's this idea that there is a greater container, there is a greater holder. We are a part of a greater one life. You know, if we can see ourselves all a part of this greater sort of awareness or consciousness. And so this idea of goals, you know, and perhaps somebody says, well, this is my goal and your goal is different. Is there a way that you can zoom out or, you know, expand and include to find a goal that says, well, may we find a goal that will allow for a sense of contentment or ease or happiness for both of us, you know, at the same time, you know, to sort of not make it about your goal versus my goal. But, you know, if there's no way, if these goals are incompatible, is there a way for both goals to be achieved without taking away anything? You know, this idea of expanding and including, of zooming out a bit, right?
Yeah, it's the difference between saying both and or yes, but, right? Yes, but yeah. Is limiting. And I think, yeah, this was written some time ago, but I always found it to be a wonderful book, Getting to Yes, which means, you know, it's about negotiation. You negotiate by moving to a different level where you find common purpose. And then from there, you negotiate out your differences.
Mm. We talked last week a bit about appreciation, and I just find that appreciation and gratitude create space so that we can start to see those options. You know, we can start to see ways in which we can reach a common goal, or where solutions are possible. They seem to arise as soon as we can find something to appreciate. All of a sudden, there's just space.
That's right. And as I recall last year when we did the show on hope, you came up with a couple of acronyms, which I thought were really lovely.
I did. T-shirts. Go on.
What?
I think I'm
having
out of those.
Having options promotes expansion.
Yes. Having options promotes expansion. I like that. There was a second one. Do you have it?
Yeah, harnessing optimism provides evidence.
Yes, so right. I love that. We talk a lot about energy following thought. And if you can just be optimistic and say yes, you know, it's this idea of yes that evidence will show, you know, energy will follow thought. And I find as soon as we really become positive and we put some emotion, even some like positive expectation behind it, we just start to see examples of ways in which that could be. Do you agree?
That's right. But and I'd like to add that it's optimism within a realistic context. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, you know, I'm going to be able to get an A on this exam. I haven't studied at all. Don't know the subject matter. But I'm sure I can do it. Right? I would like to get an A. I would like to get an A. I hope to get an A. And so I have these strategies that I'm going to use, these effort strategies that I'm going to use in order to move towards that objective.
Yes, yes. Nice. And it's sort of like that idea of like, we talked a lot during the hope, that the shows on hope, this idea of like saying, oh, there's a difference between saying, I sure hope, you know, this, in the instance of the terrible shooting, you know, I hope that this person says yes to my request for the date. You know, mm-hmm. I hope this happens. And it being actually a finite where you're setting up like a yes or no, so that if it doesn't happen, you will be let down. But I'm hopeful, mm-hmm. You know, I'm hopeful to be hopeful, you know, is a very different scenario than sort of what you're saying is really this has to happen, but that, you know, I'm hopeful that this person will consider going on a date with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a fine line with hope and expectation where being hopeful, but allowing some space for a multitude of possibilities to show.
Yeah, it's important to not confuse it with just wishful thinking. So
right.
When we state a desire, then there has to be an implication that we are actually making an effort towards creating that desired outcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I hope very, very sort of wonderful to have on your side to be hopeful, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nice. So joy. I know we wanted to talk about joy. Perhaps we have a few minutes before we go to break, because there is a feeling of joy. Esther Hicks says often that the basis of life is freedom and the purpose of life is joy. And I find it a kind of a lovely segue to go from hope into freedom and joy, because as we're feeling hopeful, there is this sense, as we've talked about abundance, there's this sense of options, of opportunities, and we feel free to choose. It's this idea that I am free to respond to any situation, within my response, my freedom to respond to any situation is inherent. That's part of being a human being. And the purpose of life is joy. And I find that when we experience joy, we feel so interconnected to everything that's happening around us. It's as if we are one. It's like time stands still and we are a part of everything happening around us beyond time space. Would you agree?
Yes, and one of the challenges is that we have a lot of alternate messages. You know, we say, that basically we grow through suffering, which is a very reactive way to look at growth, or no pain, no gain. And it may be true that when we go through a difficult situation that we learn and that we grow, but it is not true that that is the only way that we can learn and grow. And so that's a myth that we need to set aside, the myth that suffering has to be at the heart of everything that we do. It's the difference to me, Steve, between being reactive, something bad happens to us or that we perceive as bad, and then we react to that, or proactive, where we set objectives and we work towards those. And yes, there are difficulties along the way, but we are the ones that are moving forward. And joy happens when we are being proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah, when we're sort of a part of the flow, when we're a part of that, infinity, life, there's like an infinity to our existence. When we realize that we're just a part of that continuous flow, I find that that is when we get within that rhythm and that vibration of joy. Mm-hmm. So joy, it's such a lovely word and a lovely topic of conversation. We're going to continue that when we come back after these messages.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Well, Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Just before the break, we were talking about joy. It's an experience that allows us to feel that sense of interconnection, that connected to all that is, and actually really connected to the moment itself. Dorothy, if you would indulge me, I brought a quote about joy, if I may do so.
Great.
It's by Ram Dass, who I just love Ram Dass, and was listening again to an audiobook of his, and he was speaking about awareness, and the word joy came up, and I knew we were going to talk about it, so I'm going to read this lovely quote that is from a book called The Journey of Awakening. He says, "There have been moments in your life where you were pure awareness, no concepts, no thoughts like I am aware or that is a tree, just pure awareness, openness, a spacious quality in your existence. Perhaps it happened as you sat on a riverbank and the sound of the river just flowed through you, or as you walked on the beach when the sound of the ocean washed away your thinking mind until all that remained was the walking, the feeling of your feet in the sand, the sound of the surf, the warmth of the sun on your head and shoulders. For that moment, your image of yourself was lost in the totality of the moment. You were not clinging to anything. It was just flowing through you, around you, by you, and in you. In that moment, you were the experience. You were the flow. You had transcended the separation that thought creates. You were the moment in all its fullness. Everyone has had such experiences. These moments are the ones in which we have lost ourselves or been taken out of ourselves or forgotten ourselves. They are moments in flow. It is in these moments of your life that there is no longer separation. There is peace, harmony, tranquility, the joy of being part of the process. In these moments, the universe appears fresh, and it is through innocent eyes it all begins anew." I love that.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this idea of being without separation. You know, that we started this whole month off with talking about separativeness and how it is really a human heresy that we create. And this idea that thought also can create separation, and that joy is being beyond thought, being completely immersed in the moment, and being a part of the process. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate that he mentions harmony and tranquility, and just to imagine a world in which we are all cooperative, which we really feel a part of this process and of all that we create, that we are doing our part responsively to create a world in which interconnectivity is recognized as an aspect of our existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, one of the challenges, Steve, is to retain that sense of joy, that sense of centeredness, that sense of being in the moment, and also recognize our social responsibilities, our obligations to others, and being aware of them. Because all too often, when people describe that kind of state to me, it's like, you know, they're going to live in a cave and that's the way they're going to bliss out. But that's not the reality of the life that we have. The life that we have is an interconnected reality where there are other beings that we have some responsibility towards.
I think one primary aspect of maintaining that sense of responsibility and joy is that being a part of the process is to always see everything anew as unfolding, as creative, and to see if you can be a cooperative component of all that is unfolding. I think you can then be a part of that. You know, you can be a part of the process in the same way that you're walking down the beach. It may not have the same sort of impact on your senses of being so beautiful and pleasing, but you can see yourself as a part of a creative process and just find joy in that. You will do, it is your responsibility or obligation to be a part of the process with harmony, you know, to establish harmony, that's the end goal. So hopefully we can find a way to integrate those two. You know, you don't have to sort of separate yourself or just, as you say, like go be in the cave alone. You can be a part of the process and still experience joy in the flow and in the creative process. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would agree. I would also add, though, because I've been recently in a couple of situations where this came up, that while on the one hand, it is wonderful to see the world anew, you know, with new eyes, it's important to also build on experience. And I've had a couple of situations now that I've been in where people have, and I think this is true of the U.S. government right now, completely discredited any expertise that might have been built up over time. Yeah. And it's as though we're just going to go from right now, right? Whatever the topic is, whatever we feel is true, that's what we're going to go with. And we're going to ignore all of the evidence, all of the knowledge that has been built up. And I think that's a very dangerous path for us.
Yeah. So finding a way, right, to just lift, you know, lift and expand the other's awareness. It can be tricky, but it is, as you say, it's our obligation because indeed these are very interesting times. You know, these are pivotal times, I find, and these situations are ripe with situations that we can say, hey, look, look at this. Please take the time to look. Can we bring the others to the round table? You know, I always come back to the age of Aquarius as being, you know, we're beyond the dawning. We're getting toward the age of Aquarius, which is really asking us to be at a round table. I think of leaving the age of Pisces, which was the age of the guru, which was the one person at the head of the table. And now the age of Aquarius being the round table where we're all a part of the whole. We all have something to say, and may it be so that we all can listen to what the other says and their expertise, please.
Right, exactly. And I think it's also important to bring into the conversation the function of boundaries. You know, we have a responsibility. When I talk about our being responsible for our psychic pollution, I have an edge to my energy field that I have the responsibility to maintain in such a way that I don't just dump all, you know, my negative feelings or upset all over everybody else. But there are other ways that boundaries come in. Because again, I think one of the myths is that being joyous is also being boundaryless.
Yeah.
And I take the example, Steve, of music.
Dorothy, if I could just jump in, we have less than a minute. So let's go on and we'll bring it up. We'll wrap it up.
Okay. Well, then my last word is going to be that living joyously means letting go of fear, not letting go of boundaries.
Indeed. Yeah. I like that. So okay. Dorothy, may it be so. May we let go of fear. Indeed. It's been a wonderful month. I've really enjoyed this, Dorothy. 5 weeks on interconnectedness, and I look forward. Would you like to mention next month?
Yes. Next month, we're going to start participation, how our actions influence the whole. And it's very related to what we've been talking about this month, but it's a different lens on it.
Wonderful participation. I look so forward to it. Listeners, I hope you'll join us for the month of June. It's been great to be with you, Dorothy, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.